Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are locking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful co-host, Grace Garcia.
And his wife.
Yeah. And my wife. Yeah. Today marks season 2, episode 20.
Wow.
Yes. And before we get into that, we have been back for a couple of days from camping.
Yes.
We went camping with a couple other families, our best friends, your family, and it was a really great time. I was having a conversation with my friend Nate, and Nate isn't much of a camper. I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but shout out to Nate. He isn't much of a camper, and he was like, man, like, it's a lot of work. But then every single time that I saw his kid having a blast, I just always like reminded him, like, that's why you do it, bro. Mm. And he went, okay. Because he was like, at one point he was like, I think this might be the last camping that we do. And then it was, I don't know if it was that same day or a day after, we went on a boat ride and his kid loves the boat. And he's so having fearless. He's having a blast. And I'm like, you can't cancel camping for this one reason right here. Mm. I'm like, he's going to ask for it every single year. And I'm like, that's the sacrifices us parents have to make.
Yeah.
And like, it is a lot of work. A lot of work. It's a lot of planning. It's a lot of grocery shopping. It's a lot of packing. It's a lot about, we rented a truck this time. A great truck, 2024 Ford Maverick. That thing is amazing. I loved it. To the point that me and you kept talking about, like, oh, maybe one day we buy something like this, right? Mm-hmm. But playing Tetris on that thing, like, even though we got a truck, because I learned my lesson from last year. Last year, I rented a Toyota RAV4 thinking that it was big enough. It was not even close to big enough. So I'm like, this year, I'm going to rent a truck. And still having to play Tetris and then having to tie things down in the back and hoping that nothing flies off. And then getting to the, well, driving on the first day, we drove a lot. I think it was like close to like 400 miles, if not more.
Yeah, we went to Sequoia and then after Sequoia back to Bass Lake.
Yeah, we ended up going to Bass Lake. Shout out to Bass Lake. If you guys have never gone there, it is a beautiful place.
Yeah.
The moment that you finally get there, you see the beautiful lake and it's a great spot. It is a great spot. Honestly, I learned my lesson this year finally. Next year when we go, there will be no pit stops before. We're just going to Bass Lake. Because Bass Lake is only about like 4.5 hours away from where we're at. Mm. So if we would have just gone there and just enjoyed the day rather than drive, like I don't know how many hours we drove, probably would have been better. So yeah. Bass Lake is amazing. But again, we get to Bass Lake and then we have to set up. And in the middle of setting up, you know, you want to like talk to your family. We have to get cooking going because we got there like around 6:30. Sunset was like around 8:30, and so I'm thinking both about like we got to get this tent up, we got to get everything unpacked, we got to get everything organized, and I got to start cooking before it gets into nighttime. And so I'm thinking about all this, and yeah, like it's a lot of planning. It's not a lot of sleep. I think both nights I might have gotten like 5 hours of sleep. But again, to see the kids enjoy it, and our oldest Elijah loves to play Fortnite. I don't know if, well, he loves to play Fortnite. And during, it was a couple times actually, he told me and you, I'd rather be camping than playing Fortnite. And that is a huge statement for Elijah. That kid loves playing Fortnite and spending time with his best friend, which is a kid named Nathan, which is one of my good friends, Sergio, his kid. Did I say that right? Yeah. Okay, so for him to say that statement, and again, that just reminded me, like, this is why we do it. Like, it's a lot of work. It's not a lot of sleep. You know, it's not the most ideal. It's not bougie. Even though I try to make it bougie with an inflatable bed, please don't judge me. It's not as comfortable as you would like. It's not home, right? But for it to make memories with the kids, you know, we got to go see the sequoias, which honestly were not as impressive as I thought they were going to be.
They're huge trees.
I don't know why I thought they were going to be like the size of like a skyscraper. And I'm like, they're not even that tall.
They're huge though.
They are big, but I mean, I don't know. I come from Canada. I've been in forests. Like I haven't seen, it's not like I look at the trees and I compare, but I've been in forests. So it's not like, oh my gosh, like never seen a tree before. But yeah, I honestly thought like that they were like as high as skyscrapers, but they really aren't. But what was I saying? Oh, for them to see that and to make those memories there, we took some pictures and videos inside of a tree on one of them. And then the games that we played during the car rides and stuff, like I think, and then our kid finally, like, that's the only time where he liberally takes naps. Most of the time, he's just like, I don't want to take a nap. Even though there's a car ride, he's like, I don't want to take a nap. And usually waits like the last 5 minutes to fall asleep. But like, I remember on the way back home, he fell asleep like, I don't know how many hours, like 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he would like half wake up and be like, I think he would check the time and be like, oh, there's still a lot of time, and go back to sleep. So I remember being a kid and loving to sleep in the car too. So. But yeah, it was a great experience. And yeah, we are not going to stop doing it. We're going to do it at least once a year. Yeah. Next year, we might take a break from the camping part and we might do a cabin. And then Grace was saying that she wants to do July 4th. So we'll probably be...
You're just telling everyone where we're going to be next year.
Yeah, because... No, nah, never mind. But how did you like camping?
I loved it. I think one of my highlights always camping is waking up and like you're forced to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it's fresh, you're drinking your coffee, like taking in nature. It's slow paced.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I loved this year I ran around the lake. That was one of my highs because it's so quiet and it looks so beautiful. You're just like, thank you God for like my health, for your creation. And yeah, you saw people like fishing, but it was again early morning, so just that quietness, that stillness.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my highlights. But yeah, both kids, especially seeing like the difference of my boy, like he's such a boy, like a boy's boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter is so girly, but they both genuinely enjoy it. Like my daughter loves it. Today we were playing the Barbies are camping and
yeah,
with their camper and just talking about the s'mores and all that stuff. Like it truly, it makes the parent happy knowing mm-hmm. that, okay, this is going to be like tradition where they're going to grow up and be able to say, I remember when my parents would take us every year.
Yeah.
And that those, like those core memories. And so I do love it.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a part of me that hopes to hear one day when they're older, like, remember when we used to go camping at Bass Lake?
Mm.
Like, that was our, you know? And, like, I think the bigger thing for me would be if we get to that type of wealth where we can, like, buy a cabin out there or a cottage. Mm. Be like, oh, yeah, you know, remember we used to always go up to the cottage, like, once a year and spend time at the lake and stuff. Because honestly, where I come from in the city where I come from, which is Winnipeg, like all the kids that I grew up with in school all used to say the same thing. Like, oh, yeah, we're going up to the cottage. Like everyone had a cottage. And I'm like, what the heck? But yeah, they would all like, oh, we're going to the lake. Oh, we're going wakeboarding. Oh, in the winters, we're going up to the cabin and we're going snowmobiling, like all these things. So to be able to hear that as a kid, I think I always kind of wanted it, but I knew like, I mean, first of all, we're Hispanic, so the culture is completely different. We didn't have the money to get a cabin or a cottage. So if we can get to that point, you know, in our lifetime, I think that would be, like a, I guess a desire of mine.
Yeah,
you know?
Dream come true.
Yeah, I guess I didn't even really know until right now that it was kind of like a dream, but yeah, it kind of is. Mm. 'Cause yeah, it's just memories, you know, and. I was having a conversation with a couple of friends these last couple of days and just like about cherishing the time that we have with our kids, knowing that before we know it, they'll be 13 and they won't want to hang out with us anymore.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to like almost implement it on them. Hey, okay, you're going to hang out with your friends most of the time, but at least these times every year, we're going to hang out as a family. So even try and that, but knowing like, oh, I'd rather be with my friends. We could have gone to the movies. I wanted to hang out with that girl or that boy, where they start picking other things rather than hanging out with you. Like I know those days are like around the corner. So I'm just like, we need to cherish the time that we have now. Like we don't want to be when they're 13 wishing that they were 5 or 6 again, because it's like you squandered that time.
Yeah.
So just like don't squander that time. Like be present and be grateful and take advantage of the time that you have now. So I think I really love it. I love the memories. I love seeing the kids smile. And then we rented a little fishing boat, and you know, the kids pretend like they're driving the boat, because it's one of those fishing boats that has a motor in the back and it's just like the stick that you move side to side to direct you where you're going. So it's not like a wheel or whatever. And so it's kind of hard for the kids, because first you have to like twist it and then you got to like direct it, and it's kind of hard to direct. I let Elijah do it for like a couple seconds, but yeah, he wasn't doing it. But yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. And yeah, that's awesome that you got to run too.
Yeah.
You were so proud. And the whole time, like, are you proud of me? Are you proud of me? You're proud of me? Yes, I'm proud of you. And then you and Marvin kept bugging me about like, oh, you're going to come for a run tomorrow? And I'm like, oh my goodness, I wish. I can't wait to get back into running, but.
I can't wait for you to run with me. Yeah. It still has not happened.
It's coming. But that's today's update. I wanted to talk about something that we haven't talked about yet. And I think it'll be a really good topic. And I think that we're only going to scratch the surface today, because I think it has many layers of depth to it and many ways that we can go. So we'll see where it goes today. But like I said, I think there'll be more episodes in the future, and probably we'll have to have guests to come on to talk about this. But today's topic is leadership. I think leadership is an important topic to talk about, especially when you're trying to become better every day, because to be able to become better every day, you must take charge. To be able to take charge, you must be a leader. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to lead people, but I think it starts with us to be able to lead yourself, right? And so I wanted to talk about this topic of leadership, and I wanted to just start with a question to you, which is a very basic question. What is leadership to you?
Leadership to me, you said taking charge, influencing, guiding the way, maybe like pioneering others, being a role model, things like that.
Okay. I looked up the definition. So I kind of cheated. I asked you and you're not going to ask me. So I'm going to give you the definition. Leadership is the ability to guide and to influence individuals or groups towards achieving a common goal. It involves inspiring, motivating, and directing others to work together effectively and achieve desired outcomes. Leadership is not just about holding a position or authority, but also about the actions and behaviors that empower others to contribute their best. So, to the next question. What do you think makes an effective or good leader?
Them not just talking about it, but being about it.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of leaders nowadays, they'll say the right things, but then not like show it in their life. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
It is being vulnerable, like showing people like the difficulties of it. Because then I think that's where the people that you're leading get to truly know you. That's where they truly start loving you. And that's where you truly start influencing them. And not just like from far away. That's where you build that closeness, so they trust you and they're willing to be guided by you.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think I know what the answer is going to be for this, because this is kind of your go-to answer for everything. But in your life, who has been a great example or role model of leadership?
Jesus.
That's not what I expected, but go ahead.
And I was like, I know what you are expecting. So I'm like, let me throw him off the trail.
If you can pick anybody else, that'd be cool. But if not, then
no, I know.
Go to your go-to.
Yeah, Jesus from the Bible is a great, obviously, role of a servant leadership, which mm-hmm. is like countercultural, I think, but like CEOs, corporations with the world models. But my mom is mm-hmm. a great leader.
What made her a great leader?
What she preached, she followed at home, which my dad too. I think my dad's a great leader, but they both were in the public eye and are in the public eye, my dad. And what they preach, they follow at home. Mm. And so people of integrity, people of their word, and like that vulnerability, my mom had that vulnerability where she was just how she is at home. She's like that, which some people are like, oh my gosh, she's so free, like not hiding anything. And so because I think she put her heart on her sleeve, people loved her and she loved them, mm-hmm. that people were willing to follow her and were like, no, she's legit. Like, she's real. And so I think that made her a great leader.
Yeah. Now that you said that, I think somewhat of a sad thought of like, your mom, we probably would have called your mom so many times to do this podcast.
Oh, for sure.
Like, hey, come for this topic and come for that topic.
For sure.
But yeah, that's a great example, I think. And I've always been towards the line of one thing that has always impacted me reading in the Bible was the part where Jesus says, I came here to serve and not be served. Mm. And that always will speak to me in regards to if the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God above all, came down, made himself flesh, and came here to serve. Like, I don't think any of us have any right to be like, I'm going to outwork service. Like, I'm going to get to a certain level where I will not have to serve ever again. Mm. I think people are okay with a season of service up to a certain point, and then they go, eventually I'll get out of this. Eventually I will deserve to be served and not have to serve anymore.
Yeah.
And again, I will always go back to that. And I think maybe that touches my character as well, because I've said it here before, like I always have like a heart for the underdog. I don't like when, people are kind of like put to the side. People are seen as less than. And so I've always, since reading that line, I've always had this mentality of no matter what, no matter where, no matter where I'm at, no matter what position I have or whatever title, like I'm never going to stop serving, you know? And, I kind of wanted to ask you about that as well. Do you think a leader ever outgrows service? And obviously, I mean, you're going to go to the answer of like, obviously not because of what I just said, you know, what it says in the Bible. But also, I have heard some leadership people say, like, when you get to a certain level of leadership, you must learn how to delegate. You must learn how to balance the work. You must know where your service is most effective when you get to a certain level of leadership, that you won't serve the same way that you served before, but you will still serve in a way. What do you think about that?
I do think a leader should always serve.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to what you were saying, like Jesus, he had divine power and yet he emptied himself to become as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this yesterday. So yesterday I was talking about leadership at our church's leadership collective, they call it. So it's like the leads and their core team. And I was telling them that it is and I got it from a book. I think it's called like Christian Leadership by Henry Nguyen or something like that. It's a great book. Very easy read. Highly recommend. But he was saying how the reason why so many leaders start using control and power is because it's easier to control than to love. Mm. And so I think similarly, you stop serving. I think when there's no love there, like you just see them as what they can do. You want an outcome. You want efficiency. And so you start controlling them and you don't really care about their hearts. You don't, mm-hmm. you don't care about them. If I'm obviously I haven't been in like, I have had leadership roles in like the secular world, but not like in corporate. So I don't know. I can't put myself in their shoes, but I'd hope, and I'm trying to imagine like if I was a Christian, like CEO, say I'm like all the way at the top, right? And I get to that point where the workload is a lot and I have employees under me and I'm delegating, like what does that look like? To still serve those and to love those who are under me, mm-hmm. right? Because I do think it's wise to delegate. Like you don't want to do everything because you can easily burn out.
Right.
And so it's wise, just like how they need you, for you to need them. And I think that's where Christian leadership is different. Because one of the things I was talking about yesterday too is the world's, the secular world, like we try to model leadership based off of what we see. Mm-hmm. So like therapists, psychiatrists, doctors, it's my client has a need. I'm going to supply them that need, but there's this arm's length space. So I am the leader. You are the client. And so there's this boundary, right?
Okay.
In a Christian leadership, Jesus, how he said, it's like, we must lead where I'm willing to die for my friends. I'm willing to like die for my brother and sister in Christ. Mm-hmm. We can't do that if we don't truly love them. And so it has to be an exchange. Like I am broken. I am sinful. I am weak. And so I need them too. And so I feel like there's an exchange. Like you need me to lead, but I need you to feel cared for, to feel sought after, to be held accountable. And so I'm thinking that In that area where you're a leader and to delegate, it's this exchange where it's like, you need me to lead and I'm going to do that mm-hmm. and be vulnerable. Like, this is where I need you. This is where I am feeling, I guess, the load and I could take it on, but I'll feel burnt out. And like, I think more of like that vulnerable, which usually it's like control, like do this because I have the power and not of that heart of like, hey, I see you, I value you, and it would like help me. Like I need this to be done because like that more vulnerable heart where it's like a transaction, like we need each other. Does that make sense?
Yeah. As you were talking, I was reminded of Moses when his father-in-law, I believe, was the one who was like, buddy, you're getting burnt out. You're going to have to delegate some of this stuff, right?
And it's Jethro, I think.
And he delegated it.
Yeah.
And then when you were talking about the CEO saying like, hey, this is a lot for me. I'm going to have to like delegate this stuff. Then it also made me think like, how can you become an effective leader where you can delegate and it doesn't feel like control? And you're the leader that goes, I can delegate and the people are happy to grab it, right? Mm. And I think one of your points is the vulnerability part, which I think is great. But I still don't think the vulnerability part is enough. And the reason why is because the vulnerability part can be interpreted, let's say, if we want to make it very basic in general, in two ways. One, they go, oh my gosh, he's sharing his heart. I really appreciate it. I got your back. Number two, oh my gosh, how are you crying? You make this X amount of money. You have X amount of power. Like, how? Why am I going to feel bad for you? And now you're giving me work. And obviously, it's about the heart posture of the person receiving that delegation as well, right? But still, like, the person could go like, yo, I'm not going to feel bad for you. And now you're giving me extra work. And so the obvious answer is you pay me more money then.
Yeah.
You know? And so then I think about how can you become the better effective leader where you can delegate and people are glad to do it, not in the sake of manipulation, of course. An effective leader will never see people as pawns, But I think to be an effective leader, you must, in a way, cast a vision that inspires the people like that are following you in this case. Inspire people, make them feel like they are part of the journey, not just workers in the journey. Like, we're doing this, and one of the definitions is you're all working for a common goal. And so for them to feel like you're delegating me this, but I know that you're doing stuff too. And that brings like a picture that I've seen and has always sat with me. I'll probably put it up here, is a picture of a leader that is, there's like a desk or something like that. And the workers are like carrying it. And the one leader is at the desk cracking the whip. And the other leader is up front pulling what everyone else is pulling as well. And so I believe to be an effective leader, you must be the second leader where you're up front. Like, the people feel like we're not alone in this. Like, the one who is leading is actually leading. He's up front. He's putting in work. He's getting tired just like us. He's busting his butt just like us. He's spending hours just like us. Like, and to see that plus the vulnerability, they go like, oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, I'm inspired. Like, we're working on this together. And now we all want to see this common goal come to life.
That's good.
What do you think about that?
No, I agree. Because yesterday, like, it was modeling what leadership looks like through Jesus's temptations, right? Mm-hmm. And so one was the need to be relevant on how we get burnt out because we take so much on our plate because we want to be needed, mm-hmm. right? And the opposite of that is to know that you are so loved. The second temptation is the need to be spectacular, where Satan tempts Jesus to like throw himself right from like the pinnacle of like the temple. And the need to be spectacular comes from like this heroism, like this individuality. Like, I need to do it all because then I will get the credit that I want.
Yeah.
And it's saying how like ministry, and I'm saying ministry, but again, you could say this in like any capacity if you want to be a leader, like a true leader of how God has called us to be, is communal and it's mutual, and how you were saying. Because it said Jesus, after he was crucified and before he calls Peter into ministry, he first asks him, like, do you love me three times, right? And that's the part of like, do you know that you're loved back, Peter, right? Then going against the need to be relevant. Then right after he asks him, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. Like, he tells him, like, feed my sheep. You're going to shepherd, but feed my lambs. He tells him like three times too. And that's like the call to ministry. But Jesus always called them out two by two. So like, it was never alone. And so when we see that he commissions Peter to go out and to be a shepherd, to pastor his people, to lead his people, in Acts, like, I have a bunch of verses again because I had it from yesterday. We see Peter, and obviously Peter is like highlighted, but it always says, it says Peter was with 11 at Pentecost. It says Peter and John heal a lame man. It says Peter and John pray for new believers. Peter brings six believers when visiting Cornelius. Peter joins key leaders in shaping early church mission. Like, he's never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think leading is way more effective when you do it with others. Because how you say you'll carry the burden, you see, but it's not just so your name can be glorified. Because how many people at work, when you're at work, you do, like, the ones under do all the work, right? Like, the mule labor, the hard labor.
Mm-hmm.
And then in meetings or in press conferences, whatever, they highlight the leader. And then they start getting, like, bitter and resentment. Like,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't him. Like, yeah. His name is highlighted, but like, it was all of us and there's no recognition. And then you start building animosity or like division. It doesn't bring unity. Versus if we recognize like we need each other and we're doing this together, how you say then it wants them, like they're part of it.
Yeah.
They're needed.
Mm-hmm.
They're part of the vision. And so I think that for sure is super important.
Yeah. And I think to be an effective, good leader, you need to constantly check yourself as well.
Yeah.
Because as you were saying that last part in regards to like letting the workers know that they are needed, I can also see leaders be like, if they know that they're needed, then they're going to ask for more money.
Mm.
If they know that they're needed, then they're going to demand more from me. Just like, it's sometimes quote unquote easier to keep them at that length.
Yeah.
We're just like, you're going to always be reminded of where your place is. And you're always going to be reminded of like where my place is. Mm. And that brings up a point of, there's this author, speaker named John Maxwell. And he wrote this book called The Five Levels of Leadership. Mm. And I'll read them out actually. The first one is basically the leader that just has a title. Okay. And this is usually the leader that flashes that title around. Like, now you have to follow me. Now you have to listen to me. Now you got to do what I say because I have the title. Mm. That level is the least effective leadership possible because the title does not make you a leader.
Yeah.
The character makes you a leader. I've heard it many times where they say you could be a leader without a title. And that's 100% true. The little kids are leaders without a title. You get a group of like whatever, 20 friends, and you'll figure out which one is the leader from all those, mm-hmm. all those 20. Like it naturally just comes out.
Yeah.
And so in the same way, like you don't really need a title. If you feel like you need a title to be a leader, you're never going to be an effective leader. You're going to have to learn the hard way that that's not the way to do it. Okay. So the second level is permission, which is people follow because they want to, based on relationships and trust built by the leader. So that's something that you were talking about, the vulnerability, building the trust. We're on the same page. I'm human just like you. And people go, you know what? You're a nice guy. Like, I like you. Yeah, we can work together. Let's go, right? Level three is production. People follow because of the leader's results and contributions to the organization. This one I chalk up to talent attracts talent, right? You have the talent, you produce these results, and other talent goes like, I want to hitch my ride to this person right here.
Yeah.
Because they're obviously getting the results. I have the talent as well. So if I join them, we can work together and they could squeeze the juice out of me too. And we'll all just do great things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an effective way to attract, but it is not an effective way to develop. Because mm-hmm. in that level of leadership, I believe all you do is attract. But you don't take the time to develop the people that let's say have been there.
Yeah.
You don't take the time to like slow down. Like you're that type of leader, I think, is like, okay, I got the talent, I got the results, we're gonna keep moving. That's like a racehorse saying, like, I'm gonna run 100 miles per hour, and I want other people that I already know how to run 100 miles per hour to run with me. And the other horses will be like, yeah, let's go. Like, we're all running at the same pace anyways. But the horse that's running only 10 miles per hour, like they're left in the dust, like they're left behind. The fourth level of leadership, people development. And this is what I was just talking about. People follow because the leader has invested their personal in their personal growth and development. So that, I believe, is a combination of the trust. It's about the combination of that bridge being built. Mm-hmm. That's the combination of, I see you and I know that you have the potential. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to teach you to be at my level, if not better. Mm. Because a leader should always, I believe a leader should always try to develop the next leader that's going to replace them. If you are a leader that is clawing for that title, like never wants to let it go, you're limiting yourself. And I think, especially being a Christian leader, you must trust that if and when you get replaced, God's got something else for you. Mm-hmm. And I refused when that sentence that I just said, I refused to say something better, because the thought of saying better, automatically sometimes people think like, oh, it's a higher rank, or it's like, no, it's your next assignment. And even if it's not quote unquote a worldly higher rank, it's still a purposeful assignment that God's given you. And you have a purpose to bless others in that assignment that he's given you. So I refuse to say better, because again, everyone will just like go to that place.
That's good.
But yeah, you as an effective leader, you must take the time to develop your people. And to be able to develop your people, you must know your people. That is super important, I believe. To be an effective leader, you must know the people that you are leading. If you don't know them, you will not be an effective leader. If you don't know who is in your midst, you're not going to be an effective leader. You won't know what they have, what they've been through, what potential they have. No. And you could be that leader that goes like, oh, I know what you work in, so this is how I'm going to use you. I'm sorry, but that leadership, you're using those people as a pawn. You are not taking the time to develop them. You're seeing them at face value and being like, all right, that's how I'm going to use you. But you haven't taken the time to slow down and actually get to know this person and be like, oh, like besides them being an electrician, they have a lot more to them. They have leadership qualities. They have qualities of like whatever, like a pastor, an evangelist. They have qualities of being able to love people so like immensely. Like if you're not taking the time to slow down, you're not going to be an effective leader.
Yeah.
And then the fifth and final level is people follow because of the leader's character, reputation, and the impact that they've had. So it's not only the results. It's not only the time that they took to slow down and develop, but now it's just the overall picture. Like this man or woman is impressive in everything that they do. Mm. When I see them, I see integrity. When I see them, I see love. When I see them, I see that they actually care about people. That's very important in leadership. Because so many leaders at least seem like they do not really care about people. The ineffective, bad leaders, I think, see people as disposable. And I've encountered that. And that's why I feel like in some regards, sometimes I have a chip on my shoulder. And this goes on with something that grinds my gears with my mom. My mom is like one of the hardest workers ever. That woman needs to be dying for her to like take a day off. And I've always gotten mad at her, so mad at her. So many times she'd be like, I have a fever. I got this flu. She had problems with like her bladder or something like that back in the day. And she would still troop it to work. And I'm like, what are you doing? She in Spanish, she'd be like, no, tengo que ser responsable. No, I got to be responsible. I got to go, you know, do what I was told to do or hired to do. I can't let them down. And I'm like, if things went south for that company, they would drop you like this. And they wouldn't think twice about it. No, it doesn't matter. I got to go. And I've had bosses like that as well. Just like disposable. You're just a number, whatever. You want to leave or we're going to fire you? We'll hire somebody tomorrow to fill your shoes. It's not a big deal. And so I've always just kind of had my chip on my shoulder whenever I sense that. I'm just like, nah, bruh. Like, all right. Like that's when it is a wrong posture for me to take. Because it does say in the Bible, everything that you do, do as unto the Lord. But there is times where I let my pride get the best of me and I go like, no, you're going to see us as pawns. I'm only going to do as much as I need to do to keep this job. Mm-hmm. Other than that, like, nah. But luckily in the last 2-3 bosses that I've had, they've been wonderful, amazing. And I've been so blessed to have them. And it has been refreshing. So there are good bosses and leaders out there for sure.
For sure.
But there are many that, you know, just, and again, we always go back to like, it stems from their childhood. It stems from all the wounds that they haven't fixed. And so some of them desire and are desperate for this title or whatever. But what do you think about the 5 levels of leadership?
No, I completely agree. I think I've encountered like leaders along many of those different stages where you're like, okay, you have the title, like I have to listen to you. Mm-hmm. Those where you say, okay, you have the talent. Those where you're like, oh, they really mean to bring us up to their level. And those who seem like they're a great person. And I do think as Christian leaders, how you were saying, I do like how you emphasized like it doesn't have to be a better position. Because I think we're so stuck on this upward mobility. Like if I invest, if I sacrifice, because it could be sacrifice, then the outcome, right? Like in the stock market, sometimes it'll go down, but then eventually I'll go up mm-hmm. and I'll get something greater. But it shows us that like true Christian Jesus servant leadership, it was this like downward mobility, like to the point of the cross. Mm-hmm. And that's, I recommend that book, Christian Leadership by Henry Nguyen. I think it's like In the Name of Jesus or something. He was saying how he was like, he went to like Harvard, yeah, like some of the greatest schools, seminary, has written so many books. And then he was called to do ministry at a handicapped, like disabled. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like a home or something like that. And he's like, they didn't care about my titles. He's like, some of them can't really communicate, right? Like, they have very different needs than us. Like some of them more like basic needs. And so he's like, they don't care how many books I've written. They don't care about my credentials, my qualifications. Like, they don't care about what I have to say. It's like, they care about who I am. How am I helping them? Mm-hmm. And so he had to change his perspective of like, what does it mean to serve them? Like, what does it mean to lead these people who they could care less of who I am, like what title I have. Mm-hmm. And so that's where he got a lot of this insight of like how to be a leader. And I think if we can be a leader, that same leader of integrity with that character, which is that last, the fifth level, then it doesn't matter if we're at our home with our two, like a stay-at-home mom with our two kids. It doesn't matter if we're at work, if we're at church, if we're on a platform, mm-hmm. like we continue to stay the same. And so that's who we should strive to be, that we can have that title or not. We can enter that sphere of influence or not, but we always stay true to who God called us to be.
Yeah. And you might be hearing this episode and what we're talking about and think, and it's probably our own fault because we have been kind of talking about this, but you touched on it right now, which is you can be a leader at home. Mm-hmm. You can be a leader in your marriage. You can be a leader with parenthood. You can be a leader at work. You can be a leader at church. You can be a leader just with your friends. Like, there's so many ways that you can be a leader.
Yeah.
So this is not just about, you know, corporate. This isn't just about your workplace or church organization. But just being a leader, like, it is so important for you to be a leader in marriage. You know, especially if you're a man, it's so important for us both to be leaders in our kids. And one principle for sure, I read it today in John, and I heard it through John Maxwell as well. People don't learn from what you speak. Mm. People emulate, they reproduce what they see. And the same thing, it's you see the example of kids, and that's also true in whatever organization that you're in.
Yeah.
Whatever type of leader that you are is what you are going to produce. It's plain and simple. Go ahead.
It's important to be a leader, even though maybe you haven't, like the people listening haven't thought of like, oh, I am a leader, or maybe you haven't like seeing yourself in that light, mm-hmm. because if you are not leading, whether again, that's your home, your marriage, and whatever season you find yourself in, if you are not leading, then you're following something. And sometimes we can become so passive that we end up following the cultures of this world, following the bad habits, following like things that maybe you didn't desire to go there. Mm-hmm. And so a leader, I think they're mindful of where am I going? They have a goal, right? They have somewhere they want to be, and they make sure they take the steps to be there. And so again, even that's in your marriage. It's like, okay, if we don't have a goal, if I don't have a vision of where I want to be, I'm going to just be passive and I'm going to let time separate us, right? Where it's like we have irreconcilable differences and we lead to divorce because I don't know you, you don't know me. Or if I'm not leading my children, then someone else will. Whether that's social media, school, their friends, a leader is someone who sees the future, has a vision for their life and saying, I am not going to be passive about this, but I'm going to take the steps to get to where I want to be.
Yeah. And I would also add, like, a leader brings a sense of direction of where everyone is going. Mm-hmm. We're all going this way. And B, a good leader brings a sense of safety to the mm-hmm. people. we might not be doing something safe, but there is a sense of safety. There's a difference, right? We might be doing dangerous things together.
Yeah.
But there's a level or a sense of safety. Why? Because I trust this leader. I've seen this leader's character. I know that this leader is not going to give up. I know that this leader has knowledge. I know that this leader has wisdom. I know that this leader has experience. That brings a level of safety. I know that this leader cares and loves me. Mm. I know that he's not going to let me fall behind. Like, that all brings a sense of safety. And again, also brings a sense of inspiration of like, although we're about to go do these dangerous things, like I look at Jesus and the disciples, although we're going to do all these things that are going to get us persecuted, like, no, we trust him. Mm. We trust him. We'll follow him to the ends of the earth. Like, we've seen way too much. We've seen his character. He's slowed down to develop us. He's made sure that we've grown. Like, he's invested in us. Like, there is no doubt. And I'm going to go wherever he goes. If he jumps off a bridge, I'm going with him. Like, and so, to be a good leader is to do that, you know, and it's not just about charisma. Charisma is basically, you could be acting charisma.
Yeah.
But your true leadership is going to be tested.
I think that's why there's not a lot of true change.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get inspired by someone, right? Whether that's a pastor, your boss, a teacher, their charisma will get you hooked, but you'll forget about it easily.
Mm.
And that's why there's no real true change. Because again, if a leader has taken the time to develop you, has taken the time to teach you, you're going to follow to the point of transformation.
Yeah.
Like, you will follow their footsteps and there will be change, there will be fruit. But if you're not seeing maybe your kids change, if you're not seeing like your team, your ministry change, it's probably because you can capture their attention for when you have it, but when they leave, they're not following your footsteps.
Yeah, and I think it was in a John Maxwell book. I don't know if it was in this one, The Five Levels of Leadership, or another one, but it's similar to what you're saying. He said, you can impact from far.
Yeah.
And we said at the beginning, leadership is influence. So you can impact from far, just like you said, you can inspire from far. But in order to influence, you must get close.
Mm.
If you are not getting close, you are not going to be able to influence people. And when we're talking about close, again, it's building that trust. It's building that vulnerability. It's building and it's building that, like, we're on the same team, you know, like. And I just want to make a small interjection, because today, as I was reading John, me and my wife have been reading John together. Something came up, and I'm going off topic, but I feel like I got to say it. Vulnerability. We did an episode of vulnerability, and you know, the vulnerability is a pretty big topic, especially in the church world right now, at least in our church world. And I feel like when people think about vulnerability, or at least when I think about vulnerability, I used to always think vulnerability is just when you say that you're sad. When you're brave enough to say that you're sad, when you're brave enough to say that I'm going through something so hard, when you're brave enough to say that you're hurt or you're broken, you know? But then I was reading in John, and it was this part where Jesus was just like, to the Pharisees, like, the Father sent me, he is my witness, like, just stating all these truths and facts. And I'm like, that is vulnerability. Why? Because vulnerability is when you put yourself in possible harm's way. And for him to know that he would be persecuted for all the things that he was saying, that is vulnerability. Although it may come across as prideful or arrogant or just showing off who he was, or, you know, like, no, that is vulnerability as well. And vulnerability takes faith, strength, and courage. And so it's not just about, oh, like, I'm finally like being humble, or I'm finally putting down the walls and saying how hurt I am. No. It can also be, I'm finally stepping into bravery. I'm stepping into the unknown, where I'm believing that God has called me to do these things. And now I will say it, because now also we have certain people that are too nervous to say, I don't know if I'm going to say it yet. You know, like a Joseph. God gave me this vision. And his brothers were like, what the heck? Who do you think you are? That's vulnerability. Like, you don't know how people are going to react. Yeah. And they may harm you. They may come after you. So that also takes vulnerability. So that was my small interjection.
No, I think that's good, because there's so many people who aren't leaders who should be leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, again, at one capacity or another, should be a leader. And it's that fear of, like, if I step up, who do I think I am? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, they start doubting themselves. And so how many people go without leadership because they're not brave or vulnerable enough to put themselves in that situation? There's so many times I feel like I doubt myself, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's in real life, on TikTok, where it's like, who am I? Like, oh, who do I think I am? Am I conceited and all that? But that's shying away from my calling. That's shying away from putting myself in those places where people can criticize me, and leaders will be criticized,
mm-hmm.
and to not be afraid of it. So I think that's super important and goes hand in hand with what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, we're only going to be scratching the surface, so we're not going to get too far into it. There's, again, so many different things that we could talk about.
Yeah.
What makes an effective leader or an organized leader, a leader that's on top of things, a leader that loves his people, go into depth of how you can love people. So many different ways, right? But today we're going to start, you know, ramping down. And I just want to ask you, I guess, whichever one you want to answer, or if you want to answer them all.
Okay.
But basically, like, which level do you think you would categorize yourself as a leader? And maybe if you don't remember, just, you know, kind of say like, oh, this is where I think I'm at.
Okay.
And also, if you could pick something that you could work on as a leader, what would it be?
Those are great questions. Personally, right now in this season, which I'm grateful for, because a little backstory, we left our last church, which was like the church I've been in most of my life, right? My dad's church.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't an easy process. It was definitely like painful. I never imagined myself to leave, but I do feel like it was necessary at that time. And I did say one thing. I was like, I don't want to go to a church where I'll be like given leadership, right? Because I did have leadership in my dad's church. And I was like, I don't know if this is because I'm a pastor's daughter, because he's my dad. Like, it's just easier, right? Especially in a small church, I feel like when there's a need, just handing out titles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was afraid in that season, in that area, in that sphere, that I was like that first tier leadership, like just having the title.
Yeah.
And I was like, if I'm going to enter into a new church and do ministry, I don't want to be just, oh, you're the pastor's daughter, you're a leader,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now at our new church, I don't think I just got the title, because even for a long time, I didn't have the title. And this, what was the second one? You can remind me the
levels.
So it was the title one?
The second one was like the influence. So people follow because they want to, based on the relationships and trust built by the leader.
Okay. I think that definitely, I think I saw that through like connect groups, which we have like small groups and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third?
The third one is people follow because of the leader's results and contributions to the organization. So talent.
Okay. I think I for sure have that. Like, I was like needed, like, oh, then you're good at this area. So kind of delegating me things to do within a ministry, right? That kind of leadership.
But that happened to you.
That happened to me. Like, I didn't go seek it. It was like, you're good at this. And so we're going to give you the leadership title.
But the level three leadership, which is people follow because of the leader's results and contributions to the organization, would mean that
people under me.
Yeah.
Would well, see.
People see you as a leader, and because they see all your results and stuff, they say, I want to be on your team.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I had that one.
Okay.
And then what's the next one?
The next one is people development. So people follow because the leader has invested in their personal growth and development.
Okay. So I feel like I'm somewhere between those two levels.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is there have been people who have seen me and they're like, I want to join your team because I've inspired them. So I feel like that's a talent one,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, I've seen what you've done. I've heard you. I trust you. So I want to like be on your team. Right. And then right now I find myself training people. But I feel like I was gifted that role, like not gifted, but told do these leadership trainings. Again, yesterday I did a class, and I feel like that is training people, but still from afar.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I want to start training, but it takes time. And I think that's what I'm afraid of, which maybe I might take vulnerability of like being honest and how I can do that in this season, because I am busy. And so I'm afraid to get close because I'm afraid to let people down and train them. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I don't want to be like starting off, yes, and have the right intention and everything, but just slowly let go of it because I'm busy.
I mean, me and you, and sorry to interject, but me and you have talked about it before, and it's never really been executed. And it's always kind of been the topic of kind of reflecting your mom's leadership. Mm. Which is reflecting Jesus' leadership, yeah. Really. Your mom, like...
I think she was the last level 5.
Like, homegirl just, like, always invited everybody everywhere. Like, it didn't even matter. Like, come to my house. Oh, I'm going grocery shopping. Let's go. Like, and I'm only saying that because right now you're saying, like, oh, I'm really busy, blah, blah, blah. And we've talked about it. Like, we've been like, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, like, should we start inviting them more and inviting them into, like, our dinners? Or, like, if we go out to, like, a Elijah soccer game, should we invite them and stuff like that? Like, that it is possible to fit that into our schedule. It is, because then you are basically, again, reflecting your mom and reflecting Jesus of...
Inviting them into your life.
Into your life. Now we're really doing life together, because there are some people that go, like, we're doing life together, and you ask them, like, oh, what's going on with so-and-so? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to them in a couple of weeks. Just like, okay, you're not really doing life with them then. Like,
and so I feel like I find myself there in that needing to get to that level where it's like this one-on-one intentional training, not like, oh, lead this training, right? So that's definitely a challenge I want to take. And I think, I mean, it requires like both of us, right? We're like, okay, are we going to be social? Like, it requires, I think, for us to be in a healthy place.
And okay, she says that because we have had cycles before where we're like, sometimes she's antisocial and I'm ready to be social, or I'm antisocial and she's ready to be social.
Yeah, like, I feel like because we're married and because we have kids, like, we all need to be on the same page.
Yeah.
And so hopefully there's like, it's accountability to like where we can be there. Mm-hmm. Because I think we both have that desire to influence close. And I think we've seen like snippets, like, okay, we've done it here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely do want to get to the next level. And so I thought, to be honest, I haven't really been intentional. Like, what kind of leader am I? But I think I'm pleasantly surprised, like, oh, I'm farther than I thought I'd be, which is good, because I think I've been intentional in self-growing. And I think when you're focused on yourself, on making sure you're the best version that you can be, you're naturally a better leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't work on myself because, like, I want to be the best leader possible, like, to do it for the title.
Mm-hmm.
I did it just because I wanted to be the best version of myself. And it's nice to see, like, that just translated into me becoming a better leader.
Yeah.
How about you?
Me, I think I've been the one that has the title. I've been two, where I've built certain relationships. Three, I can't confidently say I've been three.
That's with the talent?
No, that's, talent, attracting talent. And then it's basically just like about the leader's results and stuff. Like, I feel like that's not for me to say. It would be like for somebody else to be like, I could see.
No, I do think you have a lot of friends or people who ask for your help and advice and mentorship and want to get close to you because they've seen the work ethic in your life.
Yeah. But like I said, I don't think I could confidently be like, I've been three.
I can confidently say he's
been. I think four, where I have taken the time to slow down and invest in people and take time to talk to them and advise them, counsel them, pray for them, you know. That's one of the ones that I love the most. Because I'm able to be there as, you know, they're progressing. And that's one of my greatest joys and fulfillments.
But I think you could be there because three, you attracted them based off what you do.
Yeah, maybe. And then five, I think, will come with age, I think. Well, as long as, you know, we keep
yeah,
keep
I think our everything. Fruits, people being able to testify about our character. And
yeah, because five is people follow because of a leader's character, reputation, and the impact that they've had. Mm. So, yeah, I think that will come with time as long as we practice, you know, everything else. And where I would need to work on, I think being able to manage my emotions. And what I mean by that is, like, I tend to love hard really, really fast. Mm. And but I also tend to want to cut things off really, really fast when I don't see something that's like the greatest, or, you know, like there's certain scenarios, like for when we were the youth pastors, like I had a lot of grace for those kids. And I think it's just because, you know, I saw myself in them and I'm like, well, I didn't get a lot of grace, so I'm going to give these kids tons of grace. Like I've been there before. I've been where the parents are nagging you and the parents like are like, I wish you were better, or I wish you were like this kid, you know, like, so I feel like kids needs at least one person to be like, nah, mm-hmm. dude, I believe in you. I love you. I'm lifting you up. I'm encouraging you. Right. But when it comes to adults, I'm much less graceful. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm just like, oh man, like, I it's a prayer of mine. Like, God help me with that part of my heart. Cause I know at, it's just as important in the youth as it is for adults as well. And so I think just being able to, I don't want to set boundaries, but just be able to have be patient, or have the correct heart.
Yeah.
You know, just know that they deserve grace as well. Like, and what helps me sometimes when I remember, but it usually for sure helps me is like, David, when I just look at myself, I'm like, David, like, you're no better.
Yeah.
You are no better. You failed in this area and in that area. You fail all the time nowadays. It's just like, you're no better. Give the person grace. Mm. And I'm like, all right. So I think that's one spot. But yeah, I think if I were to say something that you know, I think I'm good at is I believe genuinely loving people, and especially for the underdogs, and wanting to be there. Like, I almost like want to like shake every person that I like get mm-hmm. to have that type of relationship with, and just be like, test me, call me, you'll see, I'm gonna pick up, like, you'll see, I'll answer your text, you'll see, if you ask me like, oh dude, I need somebody to talk to, like, I'll meet you at a Starbucks and we can talk or whatever, or like mm-hmm. whatever. I'm just like, test me. And but yeah, because yeah, I just really want to help people, I guess. Mm. But I guess, again, it'll come with the time.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. We want to encourage you guys to really think about this episode. Think about it in your life. Think about what roles of leadership do you have in your guys' life right now, whether it's just in a relationship, in marriage, and in parenthood, or if it's in the workplace, or if it's with like friends, or you're mentoring somebody, or you're have an important role in a church organization, whatever it may be. Just really focus on this and be like, okay, where are areas that, you know, I need to improve on? What are areas that I'm doing great on? And just keep reading your word, because the Bible is like, really, it reveals stuff all the time. So long as you read it and you study it. And then what I would also say is, if you guys have any questions, we're open to any questions. Leave them in the comments, DM us. And also, if you guys want the next leadership to go a certain way, let us know as well. Because we'll more than happily go whatever way you guys are wanting to go. Like, if you guys have certain questions, or like a big topic of like, hey, this part of leadership, can you like, you know, expand on that, or dig deeper into that? We will do it. But yeah, I love this episode. I love speaking about leadership. And like I said, it won't be the last one. So take the time, please comment, questions. Let us know any feedback. Let us know which way you want us to go. Like, subscribe, hit the little bell thing to get the notifications. And yeah, I just want to remind you guys that we love you, that we're praying for you guys, and that we are hoping that you are getting better every single day. See you guys.